Profile on Praise Junction.
Listen. This is my story.
Real people, real stories. Real God, real change.
This is my story.
This is Profile on the Praise Junction Show.
Now, at this point, to introduce you to my guest, and of course, today on Profile, my guest story is about a story of freedom, God's freedom. What a beautiful, beautiful place to be that you've received God's freedom. And of course, talk to us on 20933 at Top FM Live on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This morning, I'm hosting a beautiful lady who's joined us to share with us her story of God's freedom. And allow me to give us her an opportunity to introduce yourself. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. Introduce yourself to our listener.
My name is Diana Naswa, and I'm born again. And I love Jesus Christ as my personal savior.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking off air, Diana, you told me your stories of God's freedom, and it's just amazing to hear that. And let me start by just asking you, for you to get to that place and say, indeed, God has given me freedom, what happened in your life that you said, yes, I got God's freedom, before we get into the details of your story?
I was once hooked up with drugs and life-controlling issues that for almost 15 years, the devil had taken control over my life. Yes, and for 16 years, and at least after 16 years, I realized that I needed change, and God came through for me. Yeah, and that's why I told you that my story is a story of freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was set free from all things. I was set free from addictions. I was set free from life-controlling issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you talk of life-controlling issues, what are those that you struggled with?
I struggled with low self-esteem.
Yeah.
I struggled with so many things, like theft. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me take you way back. Diana, Pastor Diana now. You know, it's important to say that because you mentioned you're in Bible school. Are you done with Bible school?
No, I'm remaining with 4 months to go. Yeah.
To be full year pastor now.
Yes.
Okay. So way back, what happened in your life as a child that caused you to have low self-esteem? Let's start with that one.
I grew up in a family of five. I was the only girl.
Yes.
My mom was a Christian. My dad was an alcoholic. And growing up for me was not like so normal like any other child would say. Like my mom would beat me in any small mistake that I do, to an extent that I felt my mom didn't like me.
Yeah, as a child.
Yeah, as a child, I felt that maybe my mom didn't like me. So I grew up like that. And going to school also for me, like I always took correction as someone who doesn't like me. If my teachers would beat me, I'll say they don't like me.
Yeah.
So for me, growing up for me, I grew up with low self-esteem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's one. Your mom punishing you was like, doesn't love you. So that happened in primary. So take us through the journey, high school until where you are. So what happened?
So after primary school, I did my primary school and I did well. I can't say that I failed. I did well, and I was taken to a boarding school in Kakamega.
Yeah.
And growing up with low self-esteem, it's not that after primary I gained my esteem back.
Yeah.
Still, I had low self-esteem even going to secondary school. But being a child that you know, when you grow up with low self-esteem, there's a time you want to prove yourself. There's a time you want to be on top. You want to prove to people that you can do it.
Yeah.
So as in anytime I'll try to do something, I overdid it and I was given a suspension. Like in the first 2 years of my secondary school.
That's from one and two.
Yeah, from one and two, I had been given like 4 suspensions, and by the time I'm doing my third term, I was already given an expulsion of that school.
What did you do?
let's just say things like I used to talk bad. I was a rude student.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you got expelled.
Yes.
Then what happened? How did your life turn out?
I went back home and my mom insisted that I should go back to school. Then I was taken to another day school in Nairobi, in Isili.
Yeah.
And in that day school, I just found some friends and we got hooked. We started doing bad things in the same school. The bad habit that I had in the former school came with that habit. Then we had friends who were like, bad character attracts bad character. So yeah. I was always attracted to people who had also the same character as me. And we planned to escape from school. And when we were caught, we were taken to police station. And my friends agreed to go back to school, but I didn't agree to go back to school because of shame and guilt. I didn't want people to start laughing at me. You know, growing up with low self-esteem and then people laughing at you was something that I wasn't ready to experience at that time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were doing all this to cover a pain that you are going through of low self-esteem that began from home.
Yes.
As a young child.
Yes.
So did you even finish school?
No.
What happened?
I went back home and my mom said that I can't stay at home. I have to go to do something,
yeah.
Or else I just get out of her house. And I decided that I will do hairdressing.
Yeah.
And when I went to do hairdressing, I met this guy. He was a tout.
Oh.
Yeah, and you know, growing up in a home where you've never been told that you're loved or anything, this is for the first time in my life I'm hearing someone telling me that I love you. I was 14.
Yeah.
That thing, like, it really, I was so excited over it. And I didn't even think twice. Before I knew it, I was pregnant.
Oh. Were you still staying in your parents' place?
Were you
staying at your parents'
yes,
place?
Yes, I was staying at my mom's place.
And dad was still there? Still dad, like mom born again?
Yeah, my dad had left already.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, sorry. Uh-huh.
So I got pregnant and I decided that I'll go and work to be able to cater for this kid. And the guy that got me pregnant was nowhere to be seen. Yeah. So I went because I had done a little bit of hairdressing, didn't finish hairdressing, but at least I knew to do things. I knew to braid. I knew how to do chemicals. I knew how to do rollers. So I went and started working while I was pregnant.
Mm.
Yeah, and saving some money for delivery.
Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, you go home one evening and you have to tell mom, I'm expecting. And you're young. You've said you're 14.
Yes.
What was mom's reaction?
Funny enough, that time I didn't even think of. I remember that for me to let my mom know about that, my mom was quarreling me, and I just shouted at her, "I'm pregnant."
Oh, yeah. She was quarreling because of something you had not done.
Yes,
you had done.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I just knew I'll use this opportunity to tell her that I'm pregnant, and there's nothing she can do. Yeah.
How did that end?
I think the my mom was in shock. First, she was in shock. She didn't even talk. And in a month's time, she asked me to. She went to an aunt's place. She owned a salon in Dunholm, so she took me there, and I started working at my aunt's place, and I started living in Umoja.
Mm.
Yeah, I think me growing up, I grew up in an area where people when people see you pregnant, they'll really like how.
Yeah.
So,
and at that tender age.
So I think even the reason why my mom took me to live to Umoja is because of she didn't want that embarrassing nini moment. Like people questioning her. Is your daughter pregnant? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, fine. So your auntie takes you in, you start working. And you know months are going, eh?
Yeah.
9 months is here. Take us through that journey. How was it until the baby coming? Did that man ever show up?
No. The man never showed up. I'm good at whatever I do. I do it with passion. So even when I was doing hairdressing, I used to do it with passion. As young as I was, I had so many clients who would come and ask for me to do their hair. And that time I saved a lot, because at that time I didn't know how to spend money, so I'll just get money, spend on food, pay the rent, and then the rest I'll save it because I knew I needed money after I delivered.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had mentioned at the beginning of our talk, Pastor Diana, that you struggle also with drugs, I think alcohol and the rest. So at what point did this come in, the struggle with alcoholism?
The struggle with alcohol came after I gave birth.
Okay.
Yeah. Through friends. There are some clients who used to come to the salon, and they were young girls. And I would really admire their lifestyle.
Yeah.
They would come every Friday to make their hair. And I would ask them, how do you even manage to make your hair every Friday? Like, on Friday you are here. This Friday you are here. Like, how do you even manage to make your hair every Friday? And they told me the only qualification I need to get that amount of money is beauty.
Mm.
And they told me I'm beautiful enough to get that, to be able to live that kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they introduced me to clubbing. They started taking me to bars. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going to clubs. I've given birth. Now I've even stopped caring for the kid. Now I'm going to club the whole night, coming back in the morning. My neighbors are complaining that the kid was crying the whole night.
Oh.
And I thought this was the life that I wanted to live. Now that in a day I could make money, like enough for like what I used to earn in the salon was not whatever I earned in the bar in a day was more than what I earned in the salon in a week.
Ooh.
So I thought to myself that bye-bye salon. I quitted that job, started hanging out with those friends of mine.
The bar.
Yeah.
Hey boy, take you back. So after 9 months, the baby's here. You know, you've delivered. How did that change your life as Diana?
Let me just be honest. I don't think even the baby did even change to me, because I was not ready for a kid at that time.
Yeah.
And I didn't even care.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when you gave birth, where did you take that baby?
No, I had the baby, but it wasn't like I was caring for her.
The baby was not a priority to you.
Yeah, it was not a priority to me.
So who was taking care of the baby?
I was, but not in a way that a mother would take care of a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I thought this baby had brought problems in my life.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't see her as a joy. You know, the way a mother would give birth and take this as a bundle of joy,
yes.
For me, this was a misery.
Where was your mom at this? At
my
this
mom
point?
Was at home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and me, I was.
Because you're in Umoja still.
Yeah.
You're in Umoja, your mom is in a different place.
Yes.
Okay. So when you're going to the club, who was taking care of the child?
No one.
Ah.
I would leave the baby alone the whole night and come back in the morning. Neighbors will tell me the way the baby has cried, slept, cried, slept, cried, slept.
And that didn't turn you a bit?
No.
Okay. So we go back. You continued your club life.
Yeah, I continued with my club life, and these girls are showing me now being like, there's a way you can get more money in clubs, not just by buying. You know, what we used to do is when someone buys you a drink, you return to the counter, you put water in your bottle and then you drink. But these girls are showing me that we can also steal from these men. You know, at that time we were very young, and these men, old men, they like young children. So we are like, I was under 18, so I can, I was under 18. So I used to, like, we used to go to club, put drugs in someone else's alcohol, and go with them and steal from them.
Where are you getting these drugs? At underage? You're not even 18, you've said.
We used to buy them at chemists. In the chemists.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. What's the worst thing you did as Diana in all that ordeal, just having a life of living in a club and living in a bar? That you can say, looking back, God literally rescued me from that. I would have died there.
God has rescued me in so many areas in my life. Like, first of all, God, when I was still doing these things when I was still doing drugs,
yeah.
I even joined a gang, group members, and we started robbing people.
So that is a way you've moved now, in addition to what you're doing in a bar? Or now you just
No, after, after, I, we thought, okay, I thought this kind of nini was not like enough, I was not getting enough money. So when my friends also introduced, the same girls, they introduced me to reggae clubs in town. So when we used to go to reggae, there was ladies' night, which was Wednesday, and then Friday and Saturday, like, we used to go to reggae every weekend and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that's where we found these guys, you know, thugs like reggae clubs. So we met a group. The guys were from Kariobangi, and they introduced us to their group, and we started robbing people with them. And I remember the first robbery we did was we hijacked a number 14 Matatu.
How old were you?
By that time, I was 16.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we hijacked a number 14 Matatu, and the robbery was successful. For me, I could say that was a turning point from other robberies to this one now. Now I thought this one is even much easier because we are many.
Mm.
Yeah. And we started robbing people, houses, breaking houses.
You.
Yes.
The you before.
Yeah, the me before.
The you before.
Yeah.
At that point, there is nothing in your conscience telling you, Diana, even the prayers your mom used to make, because you've said your mom was born again. You're not hearing your mom's voice.
My mom is a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
She used to pray a lot.
So she knew all this was happening.
She knew I was using drugs, but she never knew I was doing all this kind of, like I was living this kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
She only get to know about this later when I told her that this is the kind of life I was living after I was born again.
Yeah.
Yeah. She never knew that was the kind of life I was living. Yeah.
So you continued with robbing and robbing, and something happens, and some of this robbery club one, you said something happened to them.
Yeah, by this time that we have this group of robbers, there's that law that came that shoot to kill, the Michoki law.
Yes.
And that time we used to go for missions, like, you know, a robbery, we used to call it a mission.
Ah.
So when you go for mission and some of our friends, they get shot, and we go back with less one, less two. And for us, it wasn't like a warning. You know, the way maybe the police will think, if we shoot them, the others will change. Okay, automatically people think, they will always think that. Maybe you take them to jail, they will change. But when you shoot one, we get more tougher.
Oh.
We get more cruel. And we do harm to the citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even after this one's dying, still nothing. You got into another one.
Yeah, after this group of Kariobangi died, I went to Kiambio, to live in Kiambio. I was running away from all these things. I didn't want to be alone. And I didn't want to be in a place where I used to reign. You know, when you guys have you have guys who, like, I don't know, in Sheng we say, aund yokusema. Guys, wale,
when they speak, the rest you keep quiet.
Yeah, when they speak, the rest you keep quiet. When these guys are all dead, no, you know, you are in a place where people will tell you.
Mm.
And I didn't want people to tell me.
Yeah.
Remember, I still have low self-esteem.
Yes.
I have to prove myself.
Mm.
So I'm running away from that. Then I'm going to Kiambio. And in Kiambio, I don't know, in that time, I would say it was God's luck, because I remember we used even to pray before going for any mission.
Oh.
Yes, we used to pray. We'll ask God, please protect us from the government, protect us. God, we don't want to die young.
Oh.
God, help us to get money. Yes. And I'm going to this, the first plot I get a house,
yeah,
the opposite door, there are guys who used to be street boys.
Mm.
They've just discovered themselves and they've started earning a little money. So they've rented a house. They were living there like seven boys.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, these guys are smoking weed. They're smoking cigarettes. I go to their house and I make them my friends.
Mm.
And then I introduce them to thug life. I train them thug life.
Yeah.
And I become their leader.
And the only female.
And the only female now.
Mm-hmm.
So we start robbing. And you remember the law that shoot to kill is still there.
Yes.
And these guys also, they get shot. One by one, they are getting shot. I remember there's a time we went for a robbery in Buruburu estate, and my friend was running. We were chased by a group of mob, and he's running for his life. We are running because I was there.
Yes.
And you know the way the mob is running after you, and you know they're shouting, "Dio how?"
Yeah.
And me, because I know that now I'm in a hot soup, so I start shouting like them, "Dio how?" So
ooh,
I confuse the mob,
yeah,
and the mob helped me to run after. But this guy had taken some drugs, the Cosmos drugs. And he goes and hides himself behind a pole, electricity pole.
Oh, no.
No, the drugs are showing him that he's safe.
Yeah.
But you can literally see him. So I just witness him being mobbed, like he was beaten to death while I was watching, and he was my friend.
That didn't do anything in your life.
Before I told you that when you kill one of us, we become more
stronger.
Yeah.
So you proceeded on. That didn't change anything. You regrouped and now said now to Taonyesha.
Yeah. We go drink, say Taonyesha. You know, and at this time, no, it's not that I'm not going to, I've gone to Langata Women Prison not more than 10 times.
Yeah. And how were you getting out of Langata
Prison? My mom, you'll come for me.
And pay the bail, Mwatilie. That was a tough life.
Yes.
I'm hosting Pastor Diana Nassau, a guest on Profile today, sharing with us a story of God's freedom. When we come back, we'd want now to hear how God literally changed your life. And even now you are a pastor. That's when we come back right here at Top FM. Listen and leave. Remember, you can talk to us on the SMS line 20933. That is 20933. You can also get us on our social media platforms. That is Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at Top FM Live. Follow us, like our page, and also drop there your question or comment that you have for my guest today, Pastor Diana Waswa. All I can say that indeed God changes people. And nothing is impossible with our God. He is able. He is able. You know someone who needs to listen to this story? Please tell them to tune in on 93.3 Hope FM, the station where you listen and live.
This is Profile. Real people, real stories, real God, real change.